Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, congratulations, you made it to Friday. Congratulations, I made it to Friday. Some question right around Tuesday or so if I was going to make it this week. It was a rough week physically. You know, it's funny, Tyler was just on with We Win Injury Law. By the way, Melody is here as well on the Andy Griffin Show. Hi, Melody.
Good morning.
And he did not elaborate on, he said it's been a rough week. He had a trip to the hospital and stuff, but he didn't say what it was. So I don't know. I didn't see him there. I was there the other day too, but didn't see him there, but hopefully he's okay. I think I'm on the mend. I've got some, it's a weird thing what's going on with me, and I'm not going to get too deep into it because mostly I don't think anybody really cares, but I've had this weird little infection in my leg, and it's not like a oozing pus thing. It's just my leg gets red and swells, and then somehow that poisons my blood, and then I end up really, really sick. And yeah, so I'm alive. I'm here. I wouldn't say I'm 100% right now. I would say I'm running at 85 maybe, or 90, but maybe 75. I don't know, but I'm alive, and I'm glad I have Mello to lean on today. Mm-hmm. So, and I appreciate all my friends rallying the, circling the wagon for me and rallying around me. I count among those friends Jimmy and Marianne and, you know, some other people I could name, but I would leave some out, so I'm not going to. Mello is definitely one of them, but thank you so much for helping
me out.
Yeah. There is no one more invested in helping me than my wife, Shelley. She's amazing. So, all right, enough about that. I'm here, and let's talk. Today, again, is Open Line Friday. If you want to call, 673-5890 is the phone number. That's 435-673-5890. The voice you hear when you call, the first voice you hear will be the dulcet tones of a young Melody Finlinson.
Young, I like that.
Yes, young. Well, you're younger than me, so you'll always be young. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things my wife always reminds me. She's like, I'm like, honey, you're getting old. She's like, I'm younger than you. All right.
I like that.
Anyway, 673-5890 if you want to call in and have something on your mind. If you'd like to text me, I know a lot of people don't really dig like hearing their voice on the radio, but if you want to text 435-467-5842, 467-5842, that is my personal cell phone. You could text me anytime, although I'm not going to lie, if you text me at midnight, I ain't going to answer you. It ain't happening.
Do not disturb.
I'll be asleep. Yeah, exactly. DND. I talked with Jimmy Keston earlier this morning about politics and about the tariffs. Now, Mello, you say you haven't really been followed news the last couple of days, but
no.
So President Trump declared Wednesday Liberation Day, and he implemented a bunch of tariffs on a bunch of different countries, including China. And China, in kind, has responded with their own tariffs. Now, the thing, it's not exactly like this, but this is the gist of it all. For decades, maybe even a couple of centuries now, countries have been charging us more to sell our goods in their country than we've been charging them to sell their goods in our country. Mm-hmm. The idea behind it was twofold. Number one, lower prices for us on goods imported, which, you know, that's cool. Number two, in us giving the other countries more money, it helped to solidify their political systems. For instance, we've given a lot of money to South Vietnam and South Korea through tariffs mostly, but not just through tariffs. But in doing so, we've helped them establish democratic republics. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. So, but President Trump has come in and he said, look, we've been giving the whole world more money than they've been giving. In fact, a lot more. In fact, you know, some countries, 20%, they put a 20% tariff on anything the U.S. ships to them, and we put zero tariff on what they ship to us.
Right. That's not really reciprocal.
And it's not very fair. And President Trump finally came in and he said, look, we got to do something about this. We have tried very hard to stabilize the world by supporting all these economies, but our own economy is hurting bad right now. Mm-hmm. And we need to, you know, European Union, you know, some of these places, China, we need to get more money back than you're giving us. We need to, at the very least, make it even, right?
I think that's fair.
I think it is, too. The problem is that in the short term, it hurts. The stock market yesterday lost, I think it's the Dow lost 1,600 points, the biggest loss since COVID.
Oh, I'm not looking at my retirement account.
Do not look at your retirement. If you're like you and I, we still have a few years to retirement. We need to leave those alone. They will come back.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, and then today, another big hit. You know, so our little 401ks and stuff are going to be kind of ugly here mm-hmm. in the next few weeks. But in the long term, I believe this is going to be a good thing. I believe it's going to be positive for us. But in the short term, it's going to hurt. Now, I believe President Trump is going to get us energy independent so that we won't be buying oil from the Saudis or Russia or whoever, Germany, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be a good thing. Our economy will improve that way. We will get tax cuts. That's the next big thing. The Republicans now have a majority in the House and the Senate can pass a major tax cut bill that's coming up this summer. If they do that, we'll be getting more money. We might be paying more for some of those imported goods, but we'll be getting more back in our paychecks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be really nice.
Yeah, I know you as a realtor, the taxes for your realtors is brutal because you got to figure them out yourself, right?
Well, no, I have an accountant, but
I know, but it's still you. I mean, your company doesn't pay your taxes like mine does.
No,
I pay them. You know what I'm saying.
No, I do, but this year is the first year since I've been in real estate that I'm actually getting a tax return.
Really?
Because my accountant, he's been on here. He's amazing, Pat Dunleavy with Kezos and Dunleavy. Mm-hmm. He set me up with an S corporation. So I actually pay myself out of the company a W-2. So I pay my taxes as I draw my check.
That's smart.
And so now I've paid my taxes all the way along. I've taken enough. And then I can also draw dividends on my money without pulling it out with taxes. So I'm going to get like $7,000.
Ooh, dinner is on Mellow.
Dinner on Mellow when I get my tax return.
Okay, when it gets here.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick.
we've had Patrick on. He was a fun guy to have mm-hmm. on. He is, if you think tax accountant, you think a guy maybe with a button-down shirt, buttoned all the way up with no tie,
mm-hmm.
a pocket protector with a couple of pens in there, maybe a calculator in the mm-hmm. pocket, thick glasses, hair parted on the side, short hair parted on the side,
mm-hmm.
perhaps a little too thin.
Right.
Well, Patrick is not that way.
He's such a cool guy. Yeah.
Patrick is your average looking guy, has longish hair,
mm-hmm.
does not wear glasses. I don't remember him wearing glasses, likes rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
He is your non-accounting. Now, first of all, I'm not condemning accountants because I know a lot of friends who are accountants and they're very good at what they do and they don't fit that exact profile I just named. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of what you conjure when you think of that.
Just from Revenge of the Nerds, I think.
But Patrick is not that way.
No, he's cool.
Okay, so as far as the tariffs and the stock market, I feel like, and I asked Jimmy this, I said, so is your counsel to those of us who are taking a bath right now in the stock market to hold tight and it'll come back? He said, it will come back. Hold mm-hmm. tight. He says, you got to hold the line. He says, a lot of people are freaking out and panicking right now, as evidenced by the stock market. He says, think about it this way, though. There has never been a time in the last 5 years better than to invest right now in the stock market. Because everybody was selling off, all the prices are low.
I know. I'm like, it's on sale right now. I had a guy mm-hmm. from California. I was talking to him yesterday, and he's not a pro-Trumper. And he was really upset. And that's the only thing I'd heard about the tariffs.
Yeah.
And he said that everything's gone down. Everybody's accounts have gone down. He's an accountant. Too. And I was like, that just means everything's on sale. And he wasn't very happy about that.
He didn't want to hear that.
He didn't like that comment.
Didn't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. All right, a couple of things happened on the roads yesterday. A man was killed yesterday on the Southern Parkway.
Oh, no.
He was headed from the airport, so he was headed westbound on SR7. And for whatever reason, and they don't know why yet, they're investigating it. They actually had an accident reconstruction team in there. Anyway, he veered into a pillar on one of the overpasses, hit the pillar full speed.
Oh, my gosh.
And the car caught on fire, and the man was killed. Yeah, horrible, horrible. I mean, this is right here. I mean, what are we? That's 3 miles from here, right?
Yeah.
Or something, 5 miles from here. But they have not released his identity, and they do not know at this point what happened. If he had a medical emergency, if he was distracted, mm-hmm. if he did it on purpose. We just don't know at this point. But you don't have a fiery crash into a concrete pillar. That doesn't happen very often around here.
Oh my gosh.
Or anywhere.
In Santa Clara, just last week, my uncle was visiting my dad, and he had his car parked in front of his house, and he lives like on a suburb street in Santa Clara, and it's a wide street. Mm-hmm. It's a wide street, and all of a sudden, like at 10 o'clock at night, they heard this big, huge crash, and my uncle's like, I think somebody got hit outside. Let's go see what's going on. So, you know, they run out front, and some kid had dropped his phone and had reached over for it and veered into the back of my uncle's car, shoved it up onto the curb and onto the grass, and like broke the rear axle. So disabled the car completely and just crashed the car. Just inattention sometimes.
Stupid. That actually prompted a stupid little story I remember when I was a kid. I was maybe 10, maybe 9. Mm-hmm. And it's like midnight, we're sleeping, and we hear a huge boom out front. And of course, I mean, 9 years old, you wouldn't think that would wake me up, but it was loud and it woke me up. And all of us went out onto the front lawn, and across the street, a guy driving home drunk hit the back of a parked car at 45 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the parked car happened to be someone that was visiting the neighbor across the street and ruined their car. They had no transportation.
I know.
The rest of their vacation.
So. It makes me not want to have, because I live on a busy street in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And I don't want my kids parking there anymore. Like, what if somebody just smashes their car?
There was also an accident in the gorge yesterday. Distracted driving is what they're tabbing this one. In fact, the driver has admitted he was distracted. They will not release the details on what he was distracted with, but when you say distracted nowadays, you're probably talking something on the phone, right? Anyway, what's funny?
I was just thinking of another dumb story, but it's okay.
Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. It was near mile marker 17. The young man rolled his Hyundai off the road.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, the man and his passenger both were wearing seatbelts. Neither was seriously injured. There was injuries, but they were minor injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the gorge. I don't know where they rolled. It didn't look like it had rolled that far. There are places when you're going down the gorge where if you roll off the road, you're going to go a long, long way. So he got really lucky.
That's
really
scary.
So, yeah, that's another thing that happened in the news yesterday. There was also, this is crazy, up in Salt Lake on State Street. They went to pull a guy over. He was driving a dump truck.
Mm.
And the guy apparently knew he had warrants. So he knew he was going to go to jail. So he pulled over. I don't know how you barricade a dump truck. He barricaded the doors. Police say they think he was armed and would not. And the guy shut down traffic. And as of about half an hour ago, State Street between 72nd and 75th South was still shut down
This
guy had barricaded himself inside a dump truck.
Like, you're going to get taken out eventually. Why?
Yeah,
you got to process that whole scenario.
He's just making it worse is what's happening.
Yeah.
He's just making it a lot worse. All right, one other story. By the way, our newsman has taken a different job, so Stockton is no longer employed here. If you're wondering why I'm all up in the news, because I am the newsman for a little while. But this story blows me away. Okay, do you remember last summer there was a couple that crashed their UTV? This is out near Moab, out near the Colorado River. They had crashed their UTV. They found the woman. She was deceased. It was a pretty bad crash. But the guy was gone.
Mm-mm.
And they were like, okay, did he get injured and crawl into the desert? Did he leave her to go find help? Did he just leave, period? Because he was at fault, maybe he was drinking or something. They had no idea where the guy went. Well, there happened to be a flash flood that same day before they found the wreckage. And so some people said, well, maybe he got washed away in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, no, the crash happened before the flood. Yeah, we don't think they found him. They found him.
No.
37 miles downriver. Dead.
Oh,
he got washed away in the flash flood.
That's so sad.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Gosh.
You think about how far that is. 37 miles. That basically from Washington to Cedar City.
Wow.
Or actually would be downriver, I guess, from Cedar City to Washington. But That's a long ways.
That's a long ways.
That's unbelievable.
How scary. So,
anyway, this one last story I gotta tell you. Okay. So imagine you go hiking down, you go through the gorge, you go hiking down in the wilderness there in Nevada, right? Mm-hmm. You're hiking out in the woods and you come across a wild animal. What might you think the wild animal could be?
Coyote.
Coyote, perhaps, maybe a mountain lion, maybe a scorpion or a rattlesnake, right? You're out in the desert, right? Would you imagine you're hiking along and you run into a tiger?
No.
A tiger, yeah.
Well, you're close to Vegas. It could be one of their tigers.
So this guy, Carl Mitchell is his name. He had 7 tigers on his property. 7. He said he is a hero because he rescued these tigers from the infamous Tiger King Joe Exotic. And he gave these tigers a better life than what Joe Exotic was giving them. One little problem. He didn't have any kind of permit. He didn't have any kind of legal reason to have these animals. And so they went to arrest him. And they were, as of yesterday afternoon, they were in the process of trying to capture all the tigers and you know, ship them off to where they can be taken care of. But they hadn't caught them all yet.
Were they on his property or
yes,
did he release
them? They were on his property.
Okay.
But imagine you're the guy. Yeah, your job is to catch a tiger.
I want somebody with a good shot and a little
tranquilizer gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, when they asked the guy why he had the animals, he said, number one, I rescued him from that terrible Joe Exotic. And number two, they were, quote, emotional support tigers.
That's the best answer ever.
I am not kidding. My daughter once, she's an adult. She once went to an apartment and she has a ferret.
Oh.
And she was going to check into she got an apartment. She's like, I'm going to move in now. And when she was moving in, the landlord was there and she brought her ferret with her. And the landlord said, you can't have a pet here. This is a no pet. And she said, well, actually, I have. And she had a little documentation from a doctor that said, this is an emotional support ferret.
I know. My daughter does the same thing with her golden retrievers. I'm like,
really?
It makes me not want to rent because you can say no pets, but they can still bring the pets anyway. Like,
imagine
there's
what,
no rules.
What golden retrievers or a ferret, and she has 3 now and 2 dogs, but she's married and she's in a pet friendly place. Anyway, imagine what they can do to a home.
Oh, they
a
can
home
destroy.
That you own.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And you have no recourse. Like, you can charge a pet deposit fee, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know the rental rules.
It's interesting. Their previous apartment, my daughter, they had, this is so stupid, but it's true. They had to submit, how do I put this, a fecal sample from their pet.
What?
And it was entered into the DNA database of the landlord of the apartment complex. And if the dog, if they found fecal matter anywhere on the property and it matched the fecal profile of their pet, they would be fined, I don't know, $150 or whatever it was.
No, so they
that's a real thing.
They have a fecal inspector on property?
Apparently so.
That would be a really gross job.
How would you like that to be your job? Yeah, what do you do for a living? Well, I process poo.
It's like HOA for poo.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh,
so.
That's hilarious. I would just get a different dog's thing and then submit that.
My dog never did anything. I don't. How do you even? You know what? I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, that's a stinky topic.
All right, we got a couple of minutes here. Tell me about your 21-year-old daughter. What's happening there?
Okay, so my 21-year-old daughter,
wait, folks, before we start, this isn't a 15-year-old or a 17-year-old. This is a 21-year-old adult female.
Okay, and she doesn't listen to the radio, so I'm totally safe. Okay, so she moved out. She'd been living with me for 3 years.
We won't give her name, but she is somewhere in the neighborhood of 21 years old.
Yeah, she'd been living with me for 3 years, and I've been trying to get her to get a job. I got her a job at DI to try and, like, get her the training she needs. I kept encouraging her, but she just doesn't want to be encouraged. So I finally said, April 1st is your day, because it's no joke, right? You're moving out on April 1st.
Okay.
And so her sister... sister said that she could go live with her. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. She can get a job. She can share an apartment with somebody. She can do this by herself. No, no, no. She's my ride or die. I want her to come.
So how old your sister, the one that's helping her?
Her sister's 30.
30. Okay. Very nice. Very nice of her to although maybe not. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, they're both of the 420 variety. Let's say that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you don't need to say any more.
No more about that. Okay. So she moved there and she's been there for 2 months. She had a job here and she was making enough money and she decided to quit that job and leave early because she could just go to her
sister's
house.
So where was she living when she had a job here?
She was living at my house.
Okay.
And she had 2 months to save up before she moved out.
And you told you got to leave, though.
I told her she had 2 months.
You have a job. You've got to leave. Go find somewhere. Okay.
Right. But she had 2 months left.
2 months.
To save up.
Plenty
so she'd have enough
to,
money
yeah, okay.
to save up. And she's like, no, I'm just going to quit and leave right now. I'm like, but you only have like $800 to your name. You're only going to be able to pay rent for 2 months. And she's like, I'm fine. I can get a job. So 2 months pass. She still doesn't have a job. And she wants to come down here to visit. And she's like, will you pay for my shuttle? I'm like, absolutely not. You need to get a job. That's what you need to do.
Shuttle's not cheap, by the way.
No, it's $56 each way. So she uses her last $50. She has $17 left in her account. And she comes down here to visit her friend. I'm like, you're not staying here. You need to get a job. So she's at her friend's house. And
she, ooh, Mello is going hardcore.
I am
she's
so
like,
done.
That's it.
Yeah. I am done. Mm-hmm. I am not enabling anymore. So then she asks me for food, for money for food. And I said, because she's in town and she wants money for food. I'm like, you can't have money, but you can come over and eat.
That's exactly what a mom should say. That's exactly what I would have said.
Yeah,
I'm not going to buy you dinner, but if you want to come over and eat at my house, I got a pantry full of food. Come eat.
So much food. Come and eat. So she did. She came over and ate. And then she came back the next day and texted me, and she's like, do you think you could help me with my rent money? I owe $350. And I said, absolutely not. And her dad had already texted me, said, be careful. She's going to be texting and asking for money, and we are on the same page because her dad lives in Colorado, and she's been working both of us independently.
Yeah.
So we're both on the same page.
Kids will do that, yes.
Yeah.
Even when you're still married, they do that.
Yes. So I told her just she needs to get hustling. I'm not giving her money for rent. She's like, but it's in 2 weeks. Even if I get a job, I won't have the money in 2 weeks. I'm like, well, then maybe you need to sell stuff. You need to figure it out. I'm not enabling you anymore.
BioLife.
Figured out. And here's what she texted me. It's classic. It's going to go down on my Facebook probably. I just can't believe you and Dad won't help me. You are the one who put me in this world that I have to pay to live in.
Wait, what? you put her in this world that she has to pay to live in.
Right. She didn't ask to be brought here, and she didn't ask to have to pay money to live in this world. So I should be responsible to pay for whatever.
Doesn't that sound like something a 13-year-old or 14-year-old would write?
I don't know. So, and then she went on to say that if I'm not going to help her, then I should come visit her by the 20th because she's probably going to end her life.
Oh, yeah, don't.
So.
I mean, suicide is obviously a tough topic for me.
It is.
But mm-hmm. I can't believe she's laying that on you like that. Mm-hmm. It's not, like I said, it feels like something a 14 or 15-year-old would say,
mm-hmm.
not a 21-year-old.
Yeah. So. No. I'm telling her, like, she's got options. If she just has to finish her diploma from high school, she's got less than, like, a half a credit to finish. And if she finishes, her dad and I are going to give her some money. So she would have enough money to pay rent if she would finish those things. Like, she has options to get some money. And she has a lot of stuff. I took down a whole trailer load full of stuff at her house. She could definitely sell some bookshelves. She could sell some furniture. She could sell some clothes. So
how do you, I know, like you said, I'm so done. I've had enough. How do you steel yourself for the inevitable emotion of it all, though? Like, not that she's harmed herself yet, but mm-hmm. she's threatened to. But mm-hmm. just the emotion of, look, Mom, you're not giving me what I want, so I'm sad and mad and angry and mm-hmm. upset. How do you deal with that?
It's. I've kind of come to the conclusion because of that book I've been reading is let them. I'm letting her sit with her consequences. And when I come in and save her from the consequences, then she has no opportunity to learn. So I'm letting her sit in the opportunity to learn.
Lessons are hard, aren't they? Yeah. Lessons are hard. And I think this country is learning a lesson right now about the, with the tariffs and the financials, that we got to go through some hard stuff first. But in the end, if we can endure, it'll be for our better good. It'll be good for us.
Exactly. And I did tell her, I said, because she asked if she could come clean my house, because I will pay my kids to clean sometimes for me. And I was like, if I paid you and if I hired you to clean the house, then I would only pay your sister, because I know that you don't make great choices with money. So
so if you gave her money, it wouldn't go to rent.
It would not go direct. Yeah. It would go to rent. And so I said, but my house is already clean. So, I mean, you can come organize my garage, and I've got a storage unit I've got to clean out. So I'll pay you $15 an hour if you want to come do some work for me.
Good for you, Bella. So, I'm proud of you.
It was hard.
I know.
But I'm like,
it is hard.
I've got to. I can't. I don't want this to be a 40-year-old woman that's still living with me and mooching off me, and
I've
just got to figure it out.
I've told the story before. I had a 17-year-old son that was making some really bad choices, and I, Mr. Hardcore Mean Dad, I said, you know what, son, you either start doing what I ask you to do or you're going to have to leave. And we went to dinner, and we came back. He'd left a note, and he was gone.
Wow.
And that, as a parent, as you know, one of the hardest things you ever have to go through. And, you know, I'm happy to say he's landed on his feet eventually, but there was about 6 months to a year there where we didn't know how things were going to end. And, and that's tough.
Yeah. But, and they don't want to talk to you as much. And it's hard when you've had like a closer relationship, but I'm just like, it's okay. I'm going to let you make your choices. I'm going to hold my ground. This is my boundary. This is what I'm willing to do and how I'm willing to help you. And I want to have a relationship with you, but it's not going to be a manipulated relationship based on me always giving you what you think you need and you not working for it.
Okay, got a couple of texts. We'll get to those when we come back. Also, I want to address a flaw in my character, or is it? When we come back, maybe it is, maybe it's not, maybe it's only partially. I don't know. We'll talk about that. I know I'm right. Well, when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy on an open line Friday. If you want to call 673-5890, do have a lot of interesting and fun texts. Let's see. Bob says, hey, Andy, get better soon. Love your show and love Mello. Way to go.
Hi, Bob.
That's nice to hear. Jan says, what, Stockton left you high and dry? Yeah, he kind of did. He didn't give any kind of notice or anything. He just... this one, no name, but Mello, maybe with your story... with your daughter, did it start with you and her when she was little that she got spoiled or got too much of what she wanted, et cetera? What do you think?
Yeah, so her dad wanted to have more children. I was done after four, and he really wanted to have another one. And so I said, well, if I get pregnant this month, then I guess we can try. And then he was home one day, and I was pregnant. So, yep. And then she was named.
I wonder how that happened.
I know. She was named after his mom, who had passed away as well. And so he used to always say, what she wants, she gets. Don't throw a fit. So, and I would be like, don't say that. She's not getting what she wants.
That is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is not something a child needs to grow up with.
Yeah. You know? So, yes, you're not wrong.
Or to speak, to clarify, yes, you're right.
Yes, you're right. Okay. Yes, you're right.
You're not wrong. You were right.
You know about being right, Andy.
That actually segues perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next. So when I was, I don't know how much I want to get into. This is pretty personal, but I had someone come up to me once and call me arrogant. And I'm like, I don't think I am arrogant. I don't like that word. I don't like arrogance. And so... For me, I'm like, what do you mean I'm arrogant? He goes, well, you always feel the need to be right. And I'm like, yeah, but I try to back up the need to feel like I'm right by being right as often as I can. You know what I mean? I figure if I feel like I'm doing the right thing and acting upon it, that's good, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there are people that would say, well, yeah, but you're wrong in this case. And maybe sometimes I am. I don't know. But I have certainly this desire to be right all the time. I was reading an article about this, Mello, and it's interesting because the guy says humans have the need to feel like they're always right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I like to be right.
Yeah, and he said that actually comes from back when we were, you can go back to caveman or living in the jungle, whatever it is. If we were wrong, it would cost us our lives. For instance, if you saw a potential predator out there, and I said, that's a predator, he's going to kill me, I'm going to hide. And you said, I don't think that's a deadly animal, I'm going to go out and play with it, or whatever. I'm not going to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And the predator kills you. Well, guess who's still alive? The
right.
the one that was right. So you, it was kind of important that you were right for a while. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing about it. The one thing, though, that my dad used to say, I don't even know if he remembers this, but I used to talk about being right when it came to driving, learning how to mm-hmm. drive. And he said, well, you can be right, but you can also be dead right.
Oh.
He said, and I didn't really, I don't think understand that until I got in a motorcycle wreck about 8-9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I did nothing wrong. I was driving actually below the speed limit, and a guy turned in front of me, said he didn't see me. I was right. I did nothing wrong. In fact, I evasive maneuvers. I tried to get away. I ended up laying down the bike. But guess what? I was right, and I was still the one that was injured. He wasn't hurt. It didn't hurt him, the guy in the car.
Yeah.
It hurt me on the motorcycle. And I'm still, to this day, feeling the effects of that motorcycle crash.
That's
I was
terrible.
Right.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
What?
But guess doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
I remember when I was learning how to drive, my dad was driving, and somebody was coming up to us, and their brights were on. I said, Dad, you need to flash them and let them know their brights are on. Because that's the right thing to do, right?
Sure.
And he says, I'd rather not have two blind people on the road. I was like, okay.
I hate it when he's right.
I know. It's so rude.
It's true. It's true. Better to be alive and maybe wrong than dead and right, right? I mean,
I know.
Especially if you're in a vulnerable, I think about these kids that are riding these electric bicycles, and some of them go really fast. I saw, I think they're called Saran or whatever.
Like scooters, bikes.
Kid was going 45 miles per hour on a bike.
Gosh.
He was right alongside me in my car. He was on a bike. And, we came up to a light, and I stopped because it was red, and he zipped right on through because he had clairvoyance and saw that there were no cars coming, and he didn't get hit and whatever. and I just thought, wow, that kid is going so fast. He has no helmet, no knee pads, no arm pads. He's going to be dead one day. And even if he does everything right, he still might be dead one day. So.
I know. You got to be really careful.
All right, Lisa on line one, open line Friday. What's on your mind, Lisa?
Hey, well, I told Mel it was going to be about the roundabout.
Yeah.
But it's actually about a way to make money off of the roundabouts.
Ooh, so make money off the roundabouts. Okay, what do you got?
Well, if KDXU or Mel's daughter can come up with the decal that we can put on the back of our car that says 15 miles per hour on the roundabout, even like the little ones they put, on the signs that you can't remember they were when you're getting off the freeway, I would put one of those on the back of my car.
Oh.
And I think other people would, too, on their decal, on their windows. Right now I have Island 2-2. Oops, now people know who I am. And you could put those on your car, and I think that might help.
Slow it down on the roundabout.
Slow it down.
That's
everybody
a good
does.
Idea. 15 miles per hour, is that what you said?
Yeah, 15 miles an hour, and people come 25.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, that's...
All right, thank you, Lisa, for the idea. Yeah, no, good idea. One of the problems, it's not here, but I know there are other parts of the country. For instance, I lived in New Jersey for a while. They have roundabouts on major intersections that are like 6 or 7 lanes wide.
Wow.
And you cannot go 50. You have to match the speed of whatever's in there. I think the official speed limit in the roundabout is 30, which is a lot for a roundabout. But it's a gigantic, this thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to match the speed of the other cars going. And, that would present a problem if your thing said 15 miles per hour and you tried to merge at 15 in that roundabout.
Yeah, I don't always go 15 in the roundabout, so that's another area that I can improve upon.
Well, you might be right, but you would be dead right, I guess, if you got in a crash. back to being right. So the need to be, and by the way, this has been interesting, I think, Mello, in that nowadays, this, I don't know why it drives me crazy, but it does drive me crazy. People will ask me a question. I used to be the guy, not Cliff Plavin make stuff up guy. I used to be the guy that I knew a lot of stuff, especially about music and sports. And they'd say, hey, who was the quarterback of the Redskins back in 1997 when they won the Super Bowl? I don't know if they did that year. I'm just pulling it random out of the air. And I would say the answer, and then everybody would be like, oh, wow, that's cool. And that's cool he knows that. That's cool that I know that now. Suddenly, this Google thing came along, and when people ask, hey, who was the quarterback of the Buccaneers back in 07 when they went 1-15 or 0-16? And I'd be like, wow, that was so and so. And three other people are Googling it, looking it up. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm still usually right. Maybe, again, it's a personality flaw, but it drives me crazy sometimes that they can Google and verify whether I was right or I was wrong. Anyway, why do we need to be right? Here are some theories from the author by the name of Anne-Laurie LeCunf is her name. Their website is nestlabs.com. She said, well, number one, the anxiety of abandonment. They need to be right can be a symptom of anxiety of abandonment. Many of us unconsciously worry that people close to them will leave if they're not right. All the time. Fear of failure. In a study looking at the relationship between young athletes and their parents, researchers found a correlation between the parents' high expectations for achievement and the children's fear of failure. We're putting a lot of pressure on our kids. And finally, avoiding disappointment. We often choose actions based on our expectations. Being right means that events go to plan in alignment with our expectations. While the unexpected can result in good surprises, we tend to favor the expected. In other words, we choose activities that basically lead into us having been right all along. Maybe I do that. I don't know. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we're back, 9:52 on KDXU. Man, the hour goes fast, but yeah, it is all. One final thought on being right. This is, again, from that same article. The need to be right all the time is a form of fixed mindset which hampers personal growth. Oh, ouch. It says here, let's see, people who base their self-worth on being right about everything prevent themselves from learning from their mistakes. They lack the ability to take on new perspectives and empathize with others. I hope that I'm not that way. I feel like I do want to be right as much as I can, but I hope I can humble my, and there's that word, humble. Maybe humble is the key word. I hope I can humble myself enough to go, okay, in this area I need to improve. Because I know, I mean, I'm not perfect.
So when you say you need to be right, do you ever, because my husband does this to me all the time, Do you ever, like if somebody says something, do you like call baloney on it and Google it right then to tell them that they're wrong?
No, I don't. I don't usually say it out loud.
Okay.
I think it. And I Google it later, but I don't actually do it to their faces.
Oh, yeah, my husband does that to my face. He's like, you're wrong. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then he'll Google. He's like, yep, you were wrong. Told you.
The only time I might do that is if it's something that affects, I don't know how to put this, reality. Like if they say, you know, Donald Trump killed eight women.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, no. Hold on a second. Where are you getting that from? That's total bogus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's the only time where I would actually call someone where it's just blatantly affects
totally
life.
Wrong, yeah. For reality.
Okay, real quick, we're short on time. Tell me about the phone call you got a minute ago.
Okay, yeah. So Debbie called and was kind of reminding everyone, because we were talking about safety and people riding electric scooters. Her grandson was on a longboard and was in a really terrible accident.
Remember that? Wasn't that just a few months ago, right?
Just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing a helmet. So she really wants us to remember to wear a helmet because he's still struggling to just do basic things. So it's like one thing that can
protect
you.
Traumatic brain injuries are real, yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. When I got in my motorcycle crash and I was sliding on the ground, my head heading right toward the side of that car, if I did not have a helmet on, I am convinced I would have been, maybe had a TBI, maybe had a serious traumatic brain injury. So
yeah.
I'm a big believer in helmets.
Yeah, that happened to my former brother-in-law. He went to a motorcycle event and he had his wife with him. His wife had a helmet on and he didn't. Mm. He hit gravel and he slid, kind of like you're saying, and he was ended up being a quadriplegic.
Oh.
For years and years, and then he died like 4 or 5 years later of, I think, like pneumonia or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's real. The thing, I guess, kind of wrapping up the show is you know, the truth of the matter is people like me sometimes who always feel like they have to be right about everything can use a little dose of humility, and I'm mm-hmm. working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was kind of... maybe not even joking about how people Google stuff. Instead of asking me stuff, because I used to be the smart guy in the room, they Google it, and sometimes I'm wrong, and I have to admit it. But you know, it's actually probably a good thing, because memories fade, and, I mean, you could ask me what the number one song was in 1981, and I could tell you what I think it is, but if you Googled it, I'd probably be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So... just need a little dose of humility.
Unless there's the Mandela effect, right? And then they've changed the history of it, and then you don't actually know.
Makes you wonder sometimes on the Mandela effect, because, you know, hey, you remembered this wrong. Well, did I, or did they change it?
Did they tinker?
Or, you know, maybe you remember the Billboard number one song when they're talking about the top sales that year, mm-hmm. and so you were right, but they're right too. And
right.
I don't know.
Let us all win.
Yeah.
Let everybody get a participation trophy for their efforts.
A reminder to those who are interested in the general conference for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it'll be on at 10 and 2 Saturday and Sunday here on KDXU. So you can listen to it. You can go up Pine Mountain or wherever you want to go and still listen to it. We will not be carrying the 6 o'clock Saturday night session here on KDXU. So if you want to hear the 6 o'clock one, you got to be home or at least have access to the internet. Now, with smartphones, you have access to the internet almost everywhere you go anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
But that will be on. We won't have any, I don't think we're doing any more high school sports on KDXU until football starts in August. So, but we do have general conference 10 and 2. And Mello, are you going to listen to any of it? Are you?
I'm not a Saturday morning person. Sundays,
me neither.
Sundays, I try and get at least one.
Well, the cool thing about it is that it's all there for you to access after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be, if you missed it, you missed it. Now it's there, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you can watch it in any time you want, and you can pick your favorites if you want to. I know a lot of people, I want to hear Uchtdorf and Holland. I don't care about the rest or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And I understand that too, but there is wisdom to be found if you are into conference this
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Yep.
For sure. And the other thing is, you know, I grew up in Texas where the church that I belonged to was not prevalent. And in order to get conference, we actually had to go to the building to listen to the conference. And it was a weird thing, but I remember taking some of my friends. Remember, I'm a 13-year-old, taking mm-hmm. some of my idiot friends to conference. And you know what? I would say 80% of the time, they were just being idiots and not listening. But there was always that one or two talks to these guys who are not Mormons, not members of my church.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 13-year-old kid. So
there you go.
Yeah, wisdom to be found for sure. Any other big plans this week? I know your husband, 50th birthday.
Yeah, he turned 50 this week. We did
wow.
a big old party. His immediate family came over, so we had over 50 people.
That's just his immediate family.
Just immediate family.
Wow.
And then there's this really cool service in town called Card Your Yard or Card My Yard.
Card My Yard. Okay.
And you can go online and look it up. And they put this huge sign out in front of our house. And we live on a busy street. So it said, Happy 50th birthday, Jeff. And it had Over the Hill. And then.
And he loved it?
He loved it eventually.
Eventually.
And then first, it said, like, honk.
At first, not so much. Huh?
Yeah. So people were honking, like, all day long. It was a great week.
Nice. One of these days, we're going to have to talk. You said he was embarrassed.
He was a little embarrassed.
One of these days, we're going to have to talk about embarrassing moments. I have a doozy. I think you probably have one or two in your life as well. But we are out of time today, so we're going to go. Child psychologist, what's his name again?
His name is Cody Baxter, I believe.
Okay, we'll have him on Monday.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun week. Thanks for listening, everybody.